Have a seat wherever you are. Feel comfortable. Feel relaxed. Get another cup of coffee if you're online with us. If that song didn't get you wired up a little bit, get another cup of coffee and just infuse that. But that song should do it for you. And I just want to say again, thanks for joining me and coming together and being here today. And here's I guess I want to start by saying this. If you can see me, how many of you can see me? Okay, a bunch of the people here, I'm saying that, and a bunch of you online, some of you out on the front lawn, you can see me. If you can hear me, who can hear me? Okay, just checking, there's some that can hear me. If you can see me, if you can hear me, I just want to let you know this message is really going to carry some weight because it is really for you. If you can see me, if you can hear me, this message is for you. And I want to share a little bit this morning in a little different way because the message today has a little bit more, I don't know if I shouldn't say more weight, because it has to do with more than just self-help. It has to do with a word called calling, and it's about calling. And I want to share a little bit about my life in this as we go through and as I talk about this and unpack this message for you. Now, calling itself, calling, of course, that word has a variety of meanings. Today, I'm focusing on the sacred meaning of calling. And calling, in the sacred meaning, means to be set apart. It means to be chosen. It means to be gifted. It means to be talented. It means to be enabled and empowered to fulfill a unique calling. You are created by God. You are called by God for something meaningful, for something special, for something significant, for something eternal, and for something that matters. You are called by God. So today I invite you to take a step into that calling from wherever you are. Take a step deeper into that calling, the calling that God has for you. And I pray that the next few minutes, the words that I share with you will just land in your spirit and will build your faith to know that you are uniquely created. You are made and chosen and set apart by God to bring forth and make a difference in the world and do so for God. You know, last week I kind of launched into this by speaking these words or sharing these words from Paul that he wrote in prison in about 61 AD. He was in a Roman prison and he wrote these words that are recorded in Ephesians 4. He said this, "Therefore, I, a prisoner serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God." Paul is pleading with us. He's pleading with you, he's pleading with me to live your one life worthy of God's calling. You have been called by God. You are chosen by God. And you're chosen, and we're gathered together as church this morning. Well, let me define this a little bit, because church is not some place we go, not what we're talking about here. Church is not some place we go. Sure, it is a building, but that is the place that we are. The church that we're talking about is not a place we go. Church is not an add-on. It is, I am the church. You are the church. Maybe you've heard that. There's a song about that I learned years and years as a little kid about that. I am the church. You are a church. We are a church together, right? And then we are called. We are set apart. We are called to not just go to church, not to be in this place, but rather we are called as a church to go into this world, to share the goodness, to share the grace, to share the hope and the love of God. So you are called by God, you and I, as the church, we are called. Now I realize I'm saying this, I'm talking about this in an incredibly complicated and confusing cultural environment that we are living in right now. And there's a likelihood that you may be just plain so worn down and physically drained, maybe even emotionally depleted or spiritually exhausted, and maybe even discouraged. I just want to give you a little insight too. Here's one of the things I've learned. If Satan can't destroy you, he will discourage you. So it's understandable with all that we're facing, with all that we've been going through, with all that you have been through, which I don't really know, but there's parts of it that we've all been through, that that may be where you are right now, just feeling exhausted, feeling depleted, feel like that's, you're just exhausted. I had someone ask me one day, they said, how do you stay, Pastor Scott, how do you stay spiritually energized? And I kind of wanted to say, well, it's because, first thing, I'll just be really honest and say, this is a season, there's some emotional roller coaster going on, right, that I feel emotionally and spiritually. It is like a roller coaster. There are times that it can just be hard. But I will tell you what drives me, what pulls me out of those valleys, what drives me in energy is my calling, because I'm called, and I'm doing what I'm called to do. So I would just do this. Let's pray for a minute. Father, I would just pray that right now, right where we are, Lord, you know where each one of us, where we are spiritually, where we are physically, where we are emotionally. And I ask that today, by the presence of your Holy Spirit and by the power of your word, that you would stir us up. That you would stir us up as individuals, that you would stir us up as your church with the spiritual passion and the courage to live a life worthy of the calling that you sent Jesus to empower us to live. And I pray this in his name. Amen. Amen. Okay, just for wherever you are, I want you to look at someone you're social distancing from and just say, you're called. You can point if you want. You can point and say, you're called. Go ahead. Come on. Some of you get into this. Come on. Look around. There you go. Online, if you're online, you guys that are outside, look at each other. Come on, you can do it. You can pick up your arms and just say it. Okay, that's better. There you go. All right. I love it. Right? You're called by God. Okay, but now, what are you called to? Here's when we start unpacking it. It's like, huh? Right, but what are you called to? Because since God called you, what are you called to? Normally, we answer this question by saying, oh, a career choice, right? A career choice. I'm called to do a certain job or a task. I'm called to some significant work. And you may very well be called to a significant job or a specific task. You may very well be called to do that. But what I want to talk about, what I want to focus in on and really pay attention to today is the sacredness of calling. The sacredness of calling. Because Scripture actually provides us with three things that says you are specifically called to. So that I want to start with those. Now, in seminary, I learned these three things, so I'm going to impart with you some of my graduate information that I learned. And all of these things, by the way, begin with the letter S, so my preaching professor would be like off the chart, like that's just so awesome, because you've got to have them, you know, lined up that way. So here it is. You are called by God to salvation. You were called by God to salvation. That is great news. That's great news, because before God calls you to an occupation beyond, and what is way more important than anything else, is God calls you to himself. That's why this is great news. When Jesus came, he came not to call the righteous, not to call the religious elite. He came to call sinners. And he came to call people that were far from God. He came to call people who had heavy burdens, who were in need of healing. Jesus came to invite you, invite me, invite all people into a relationship. And no matter what you have done, you are called to Jesus. So come to Jesus as you are, where you are. Because he calls to set you free. He calls you to be transformed by the grace of God. And this is always good news. Don't forget that you are called by God to salvation. And you are called by God, number two, you are called by God to sanctification. Sanctification, this is, now I get another point from my preaching professor in seminary, because I used a big word, right? Sanctification, it is a theological term that really means, it's very simple, it means to be set apart, it means to be chosen, it is the object of who you are becoming, because we are all becoming, we're all leaning, we're all listening, We're moving in some direction. You are moving in some direction right now. And sanctification means that you're leveraging your life to become more like Jesus. More like Jesus tomorrow than I am today. More like Jesus. God has a call for your life. Sanctification means to be different from the world. Sanctification means that God calls you to be in relationship with Him. And He is offering you this invitation. And He's doing it right now. Maybe you're saying, I've never heard this before, or I've heard it and I never have heard it explained, or whatever the case may be. God is calling you to become more like Jesus. So God calls us to salvation, and then God calls us to sanctification, and then God calls us to service. God calls us to service. You're called by God to service. You're called to service. God has given you talents, abilities, gifts. He's placed them inside of you to serve. To serve His church and as His church. It's kind of like inside with the inside church folks and outside with everyone else in everything that you do. God first calls you to Himself. That's salvation. Then He calls you to, the word I'm going to use is transformation, sanctification. Then he calls you to use your talents, the abilities, the gifts that He has given you to service. God calls to service, right? For you, it may be a very specific service at a specific place, or it may be a very broad service. I think for me, Colossians 3:17, maybe you remember this verse, kind of drills this home for me. Colossians 3:17 says this, and whatever, can you say whatever?
Whatever.
Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you rake and mow the lawn, do it like you're doing it for Jesus. When you're delivering something to someone, when you're helping someone, when you're doing that thing that you really say, I really don't like to do this, that's when I say, let me do this for Jesus and honor Him in a way He would do it. And through that, give thanks to God. Give thanks to God. Whatever you do, however you do what you do, everything you do, do it in the name of Jesus. Okay. What gets in the way? What holds us back from doing that? Well, am I ready for salvation? Am I ready for sanctification? Am I ready to do it for God? We ask ourselves those questions. Am I ready? Am I good enough? Sometimes some may embrace salvation and resist the call to service because you're called, but you're saying, I don't know. The voices in your head may be saying, you're really not ready. You're really not ready. You don't know enough Bible to talk about it. You're not really good enough. You don't have all the answers. Your voices inside, the things that may echo in your head that will hold you back. I mean, what if someone asks you about dinosaurs? What are you going to tell them? Where do you turn to that, right? Or here's what I'm hearing now is, what if someone says to you, are we really in the end times? Do you have an answer for that? If you do, please call me. I want to talk with you. But we are in biblical times, there's no doubt. You may feel like the things that hold us back, you may feel like you just don't have all of the answers. Guess what? No one else does either. Join the club, right? Or maybe you feel like, I'm just not good enough. I know I'm not good enough because the other day a car cut me off and I got really angry. So that couldn't be. The Apostle Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 26, 1:26. He said these words. He said, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Think of what you were when you were called. Some of us, that's a short time ago. Some of us, that's a really long time ago. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were worthy of birth. When you realize who God calls, to salvation, who God calls to sanctification, who God calls to service. Here's the thing that I find so great and energizing to me is God calls the untrained, those who appear unqualified, those who appear unprepared. That's who God calls to make a difference in one person's life, which makes a difference in the world. See, God doesn't call the equipped. God equips the called. This is great news. That means you don't have to have it all together. That means you don't have to be perfect. That means you don't have to know it all. To be called means to be in relationship with God, and God will prepare you along the way. He calls you where you are for a time such as this, in this place, in this time, and he calls you through the grace of Jesus. Now, let me tell you a little bit about my story. I've got a couple pieces of my life I'm going to share with you this morning. I invited Jesus into my life at a young age, and when I was a young adult, this will probably shock you, so please just be careful. If you're standing up, you might want to hang on to something. I was not perfect. Just saying. So maybe you can relate with being imperfect. I had salvation. I had invited Jesus into my life. But who I was becoming, I was not leaning, I wasn't looking, I wasn't learning in the direction of Jesus. I was looking at a lot of things in life and paying attention to a lot of things and leaning in other directions. I mean, life was okay. I will tell you, life actually was going very well. But inside there was an emptiness. There was a searching. There was an insecurity. And when I heard the words of Ephesians 2:8, it was so powerful for me. Because it says this, it is by grace that you have been saved. It is by grace that you have been saved. Through faith. Not of yourselves, not the work that you have done, Scott, not those things. It is a gift of God. Now, I will tell you, at that moment, I didn't even know what grace was. I mean, she's sitting over here if you want to talk with her afterwards, but I didn't know what grace was. But I knew that I wasn't good enough, and I knew I couldn't work my way in because I had tried, and I was continuing to try, and I kept falling short. I knew I couldn't get to be good enough on my own, but yet I had this spiritual drawing, this spiritual tug that pulled me in the direction of God. Maybe that's where you are right now. Maybe you feel like you've been either hearing from God or you've been like asking questions about God all of right now, specifically in this time, this season that we're in, and you've had this internal craving to know more and this curiosity toward God. I can tell you, I can remember exactly where I was when I called out to God and I said, God, if you are real, forgive me and I'm going to give myself to you. Whatever that looks like, I have no clue, but I'm going to do that. I stepped into that moment as one person, and I will tell you, I walked away as a new person. It was amazing, and it has been an incredible journey ever since. God called me to salvation, and then God called me to take a step into sanctification, becoming like Jesus. I started opening up my Bible, and I started asking questions. So here's one of the things, and some of my life journey is pretty funny as well, so you can laugh, but I started opening up my Bible, and I started reading my Bible and asking my question. I thought, well, what do I need to do? If I'm going to follow Jesus, what do I need to do? So I started reading the Bible, and I discovered, what are the rules, right? Because I had been living in a lot of rules and all this kind of thing, or maybe lack of rules or whatever it was, but I discovered that when I started reading the Bible, I don't know if some of you have done this, and especially in some places in the Bible, there are so many rules. Man, don't use foul language. Don't misuse the name of Jesus. Don't tell lies. Doesn't matter if they're big or if they're small. Don't tell lies. Now, at that point in my life, it was long before I met my wife, so I don't know if I should tell this part of the story or not, but I'm going to anyway, so it's very short. But what about dating? What about dating? And that point in my life, and I thought, well, as a non-Christian, the cool thing was, the rules were, there weren't any rules. I mean, so it's just like, you know. But as a Christian, dating, wait a minute, relationships, as relationships, are to be ruled by respect. See, I was in this process, and I had joined a group to learn more about Jesus so that I could become more like him. I didn't have the word sanctification even in my vocabulary at that point in time. But here's the thing I found is I would take like 3 steps forward and I'd be like, yeah, this is going good. And then all of a sudden it would be like, I felt like I slid back 1 step or sometimes 4 steps. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. This week I was doing some things outside and I thought, I think sanctification, I hope my theological professors are not listening right now. But anyways, sanctification is like gardening. Because you plant and as you plant, things start to grow. And then ugly weeds start to appear and tangle things up and try to take over. Sanctification, I think, can be like that. It's a slow process of becoming like, more like Jesus. It's a slow process of letting God's word empower his Holy Spirit to grow in me, to grow in you, to help us become more like Jesus. I was called to salvation. I was called to sanctification. I was called to service. You are called to salvation. You are called to sanctification, and you are called to service. Now, when I was called to service, it wasn't an option. It was an unstoppable calling. When you truly recognize salvation through Jesus Christ, when you recognize that call on your life, that you're forgiven by the grace of God, the God of the universe, not anything in this world that you can do, you cannot get enough credit, but it's by the grace of Jesus, not anything you've done. And then slowly you become stepping into that and believing and trusting in God. And you are slowly transformed. That's the sanctification, beginning of the sanctification process. And what happens is I discovered that there were some behaviors that I had in my life that I no longer had a desire for those behaviors anymore. I wanted some other behaviors that were more God-like, leaning towards Jesus, leaning towards being and behaving more like Jesus of the New Testament. So service is not an option. It becomes a compelling that we need to do. You're called by God to a relationship with him. That's salvation. You're called by God to grow, to be more and more like Jesus. Less like the world, more like Jesus. That is sanctification. And you're called by God to serve. So my story again. Never in my wildest dreams did I think I would become a pastor. I had entirely different plans. As a matter of fact, I had 2 entirely different plans. And the only way I can describe is I had this undeniable call to be a pastor. It made no sense in so many ways, yet I just knew. It became a knowing to me. Becoming more like Jesus, the sanctification. So let me share a little bit about my experience. I was at a church. I was learning how to live and be a little bit more like Jesus. I was learning more about the Bible. The more I understood it, the more I saw how applicable it was to everyday life. I was serving in several different capacities when it became apparent to me that all of a sudden I just knew I was called to be a pastor. Now, here's the part that I think is really funny. So I have this feeling, I have this calling to be a pastor. So one day I'm at lunch with my pastor, and he kind of leaned forward on the table, and he looked at me and he said, "Have you ever considered or felt called to ministry?" within a week, a senior saint in our church came to me, and she just looked at me, and she said, "When will you get serious about following God and go into pastoral ministry?" And I thought, oh, no, they know. I mean, they know. They know. Now, here, I think this is the funniest part. The funniest part is, you know what pastors do, right? Every Sunday, what pastors have to do. And it's so funny because I was scared to death of standing in front of people and talking. I mean, that made me sick to my stomach. God does amazing things in transformation. Why at that point in my life would I ever consider a change from where I was? Things were going fine. Things were going okay. Actually, things were going very well. I was very successful, or I would call it very successful in the business that I was working in. So when I went and I told my boss, who was my mentor, that I was leaving the business to go to graduate school to become a pastor, I expected, you know, his jaw to drop and just like... And he looked at me and he smiled and he said, "You're finally following your calling. To be wise in decision making. Listen to God. Listen to godly people." In seminary, I received a good education. I did an internship, and then I worked as an associate pastor, and then became a lead pastor, right? The pattern that I saw in church that I was involved with was that so many churches, and again, these I'm talking about ones I was involved with, they had patterns of rituals, and rituals are great because they can remind us, they can stir us up, they can call us, they're all great, but they had these patterns of rituals that became very routine. And what I was wrestling with is the more I looked at the Bible, the more I learned from the Bible, the more the Holy Spirit worked in me, I was discovering and learning that I really believed that I needed to preach in a way, I needed to be able to impart and understand the Word of God and the Holy Spirit in such a way so that people could understand it, and so that the Bible can transform life, because the Bible and God's Word and God is so active. Jesus is so with us that he transforms life, not just on Sunday, but on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on every day of our life. So I felt that's what we needed to do. So I changed a lot of what I learned. I used that as foundation, and I moved forward and did a whole bunch of things. I stepped into the calling of pastor, and I hope, that what you recognize is that in some way, you have a version, you have a calling right where you are. You are called because God loves you, because you're chosen. You're called to salvation. And once you've called to salvation, once you've stepped into that, you're called to know and to become more like Jesus. And that's a lifelong process. As you accept the grace of God and the faithfulness of God, you start to see the experience and the faithfulness of God, you will trust him more and you become compelled to serve. In whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. It's not always easy. Serve Jesus in whatever you do. When I think about the direction that I was going before I took steps to follow God, I mean, I was lost. I was lost. I was following worldly pursuits. I mean, there was so much. I mean, there was a lot of good going on in my life, and I had a lot of great stuff and great things and great, great times. But I was lost. There was a lostness. I was broken. Now, I'm still not there. I'm not in this place of perfection. I'm certainly not holy, 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 but I'm very different today than I was before. And most days, I actually have joy in my heart because I'm intentionally focusing on becoming like Jesus. So if you don't know Jesus personally, or if you've stepped aside or set him aside, I want to tell you and remind you, that he wants to reveal himself to you. That he, maybe you've skirted around him, maybe you've, I'll put it to you this way. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Jesus calls you to be different, to live a life worthy of your calling, worthy of the grace that he has for you. He calls you to service. Now, as Jesus is very clear, as it's recorded in the words in our Bible, Jesus talks about and says to follow him. He says, I want to be clear. So he tells you there is a cost to following Jesus. There is a cost to following Jesus. Now, think about if you know the stories, if you know the historical players that are part of our Bible, God called a guy by the name of Saul. Saul, who became Paul, well known in the New Testament if you read through there. But Paul, before Paul became Saul, before God called him, Saul persecuted. Paul hated Christians. Then he had an encounter with God, and he became blinded by light. And here's another part. You know, God is, I think, in some ways, think of what God did. God spoke to a gentleman by the name of Ananias, who was a follower of Jesus, and said, Ananias, I want you to go to Paul. Here's where he is. And Ananias is saying, wait a minute, you want me to go? I'm a Christian. I'm following you. I'm in this safe place. And you want me to go to the guy who has been persecuting and hated Christians and locking people up and perhaps even going to have some Christians killed? You want me to go and have a conversation with him? And Ananias, because God called him, Ananias, because he was faithful and trusted God, went to Paul and had a conversation. Here it is, recorded in Acts 9. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. God told Paul, you're going to make a difference, Paul. You're going to preach the gospel. You're going to make a difference, and you're going to take this message to the world, and you're going to make a difference in the world. But as you serve God, Paul, I'm going to tell you, it's going to cost you. It may cost you relationships. It will cost you relationships. It may cost you time. It will cost you time. But he said, don't miss these two words. You are God's chosen instrument. You are God's chosen instrument in a specific environment. You may be God's chosen instrument in your class or where you're teaching or where you're working. You may be God's chosen instrument in the mom's group or the PTA. You may be God's chosen instrument in your homeowners association. You may be God's chosen instrument in that place where you work. You may be God's chosen instrument at the gym because you go there at 6 a.m. and you just shine the light of Jesus right there and then. The moment you step into your calling, following Jesus, there is a cost. There will be some that will think you're foolish. Some may even laugh at you. I had people that looked at me and just scratched their head because they were thinking, why are you giving up all of that to do that? I packed up a 3-bedroom home and put it in storage to move into a dorm room. There must be something wrong with me. The moment you step into your calling, not all will understand. You know, serving Jesus is a gift, and it can be like a grind. Living your calling, it is so thrilling, and yet it can feel as a burden. Serving Jesus is exhilarating and fulfilling, and it is exhausting. Jesus never said it would be easy. He did say he would always be with us. He would always guide us. The greatest enemy to calling and is comfort. Following Jesus calls us off the altar of comfort. Following Jesus, it sustains us, right? Following Jesus keeps us going. How did the Apostle Paul, how did he deal with, how did he endure the hardships he endured? How did he remain faithful, resisting becoming discouraged? Paul was beaten. He was left for dead. He was shipwrecked numerous times. He was imprisoned. He was bitten by snakes and probably spiders. Everything but the spiders and snakes I could probably handle, but not that part, okay? So all of that. How did Paul remain faithful and stay true to Jesus during all of that? How come he didn't fall away? How come he didn't drift away? Because Paul, it wasn't his great education. Paul was highly educated. Paul finished because he was called. He was called and he was following the calling that God had in his heart. Philippians 3:13-14 says this, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. What are you called to? What are you called to? You're called to salvation. That's the greatest news in the world, right? You're called to salvation. You're called, even though you can't earn it, you can't be good enough, you can't work your way to attain it, but you're called to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. He is the way to get there. You're called to become like Jesus. That's the sanctification, but it's more than just that. You're called to service, to make a difference in the world for the glory of God. This has been quite a year, right? This is one of the toughest years of ministry that I've experienced. And I don't have to say anything. The whole world shut down, right? We had to tell our church, everybody, everybody stay home. We were all told to stay home. Culturally, we're facing some very, very real racial challenges that we need to make right. The polarized political tension, the manic media, the people who are using social media or posting things on social media that blatantly disrespect one another. You know, honestly, it's hard. And I know we're in this together, but I have to just tell you, there's been a couple of times that I thought, you know, it would be a lot easier if I was in a place where I could just say, would you like fries with that? That would be so much easier. God's calling is never easy. Yet God is always faithful. In the past, when I have faced excruciating trials, as well as in the current struggle, the reason I haven't walked away is because I'm called. So I'm wondering about you. You are called. You are called to do whatever you do, both in word and in deed. Do it all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How and what will that look like for you? I encourage you, maybe write it down. What will it look like for me to do things for the Lord Jesus Christ? What is it that holds me back? Because you are called to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You are called to shine the light into the darkness in those places in the world that you journey, that you walk, the conversations that you have. You know, what's neat is when someone is hurting, when someone is far from God, you have the answer. When there is a need, you have the access to the heart of God. We are called to a ministry of reconciliation, helping broken people find their way to the grace of God. Don't let distraction of what you see, don't let distraction of what you hear around you, don't let it delay, don't let it distract you from what you have been uniquely created and uniquely called to do. You are called. You're called to salvation, being set free from guilt, set free from past, from regrets. And you're called by the grace of Jesus. You're called to sanctification, to live a life worthy of your calling, to get more and more, to use your unique gifts, your abilities, your talents, the passion that God has planted in you, in your heart, in your mind, to serve God. Will it be difficult? Think about the words we sang a few minutes ago. 2 Corinthians 4 says this, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. You have been called by God. Wherever you are today, if you are distant from God, or maybe you're here and you're just saying, I've just been afraid. I've been so engaged in all of this stuff, and maybe I feel just so alone. You're here today. You're hearing this message. You need to know wherever you are, wherever you have been, whatever you have done, that does not change God's call on your life. Romans 11:29 says, for God's gift and his call are irrevocable. That means nothing that you can do can turn them away. What you have neglected to do, what you have avoided to do, doesn't take away the call that God has on your life. Your call to salvation, your call to sanctification, your call to serve God. Don't let the world talk you out of it. Don't fall for the unsatisfying imitations. Take the step. You'll be so glad that you did. I'm going to read a passage from 1 Thessalonians, and this is a prayer that Paul is praying over the Thessalonians. So I'm going to close with this, and I would actually like if do something a little bit different. I'm going to ask if you're here, if you're outside, if you're at home, if you would just stand up. I want you to hear this prayer. I want you to take it into your life. If you'd stand with me now, 1 Thessalonians 1:11, Paul says this, we constantly pray for you. We pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling, that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every good deed prompted by faith. And we pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he may be glorified in you. Father God, I pray right now that as we pray, as we work in your ways, as we try to understand, don't let us be discouraged by what we don't understand. Let us be encouraged by what we know, that we have you, that Jesus came and lived a life that encouraged us, came and lived a life to say, yes, I am calling you. I am calling you to a life in a relationship with God, that our sins can be forgiven, that through his grace that you extend to us through Jesus, we can have a life that we can live and live significantly. We can live shining your light, changing people's lives, not for us or for our glory, but for your glory, Father. And I pray this all through Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that you would stir up each of us, that you would stir up your church, all of the people of your church, that you would use us to serve you, that we may be worthy of the calling that you have placed on our life, because you've called us to be an ambassador. You've chosen us to grow closer to you, and you've chosen us to give and use our talents and abilities and the gifts that you have given us to serve you in the name and for the glory of Jesus Christ. Let's be the church of Jesus Christ. Amen.